I want to get to our scripture reading from the Gospel of Matthew, which parallels in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. That will lead us to 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 26 for our time of communion together. But listen very carefully. I want to read these words of caution from 1 Corinthians 11:27 to 30. For it talks about partaking of the supper unworthily. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord is in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and the blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink in an unworthy manner, without discerning the Lord's body, eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. Each of us need to be sure that we have examined and discerned ourselves before taking communion this morning. Let me reiterate, for all who eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord without doing so brings judgment upon yourself. Reading this admonition, we must ask ourselves this question. What is a measurable way to examine your worthiness? I want to reiterate that because if you don't get my question down, you won't get the message. What is a measurable way to examine your worthiness? One way we can know this is found in our reading in Matthew 20, 17 to 28, wherein Jesus points out that self-giving is a measure of worthiness. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 20, 17 to 28. And as you're doing so, I want to point out that this is also mirrored in Mark. But when we get to the part where you have the request of James and John's mother to Jesus, Mark does not have these sons of thunder. They do not have, Mark does not make mention of his mom, their mom. But Matthew does. So follow along with me as I read out of the book of Matthew, chapter 20, 17 to 28. While Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, now he had decided to leave his Galilean ministry and his face is now set for the cross in Jerusalem. He took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and on the third day he will be raised." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked a favor of him. And he said, "What do you want?" Interesting note, this was the same thing Jesus said when the blind man came and asked, and Jesus says, "What do you want?" There's a lot of amazing parallelisms if we just sit and be still and listen. I continue. She said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit one at the right, your right hand, and one at your left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup. But to sit at my right hand and at my left hand, this is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." Now when the 10 heard it, they were angry with the two brothers. They were probably angry because they didn't figure it out before the brothers did. But Jesus called them to him. And notice he called all 12 to him, not just the two. You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you must first be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. May God bless the reading of his word. The American Heritage Dictionary and the WordNet define self-giving as an adjective. Am I right, Miss English teacher? Characterized by self-sacrificing behavior and unselfishness, self-denial, a willingness to deprive and disregard your own advantages and welfare over those of others. At this point, let me clarify a truism Jesus was emphasizing in this passage. This is one of those ones where I stomp my foot. Those in the military know that when the instructor stomps their foot, you know it's going to be on the exam, so you need to listen. Jesus was making an ecclesiastical argument that a real follower in the body of Christ must have a servant's heart. Just like this attribute is in the very person and nature and role of Jesus, here I'm talking about Christology. When we talk about ecclesiology, this is where every follower of Christ must also follow his example in a daily relationship with Jesus. It's about how we interact with each other. It is how we do leadership in the church. It is the study, it's the structure of the body of Christ, the study of the church. He is making a point here, not only about his character, he's making a point of telling you this is how the church should be operating. Not only to the world, in witnessing for the Lord to the lost in the world, but how we deal and interact and treat each other. In Share My Pleasant Stones, Eugenia Price points out that God's mercy was not, listen, God's mercy was not increased when Jesus came to earth. Watch this. This will blow your mind. God's mercy was not increased when Jesus came to earth. Catch this. It was illustrated in a way that we can understand. In the Gospel of John, this apostle declared that God is love. Jesus illustrated this in our passage today by making it clear to his disciples then and today that active self-giving is for the benefit of others. Jesus illustrated this important aspect of worthiness by hanging on the cross and dying for you and me. In John 15, 12 and 13, Jesus declared, as was read by Lori, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." I would submit that It is this very act of self-giving that compels our country to recognize members of our military and their families. That's why we do it. What would most of these brave men and women do the same for their enemies? The world and our heroism may want us to go 1 mile. Jesus tells us to go 2. The courage of our world says, if you have 2 coats, you know, keep both for yourself. Jesus says, if you got 1, give 2. And in fact, give the 2, because I truly believe that the more you give, the more God will give back. I want to tell you a story about a wonderful lady that Sherry and I met. Sherry and I met at Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff, Arizona, up in the mountains. Ponderosa Pines, it was beautiful. And in the fall of 1976, when Sherry and I get home, she'll probably correct me, we met a wonderful lady. She was a Dutch Christian. She was a watchmaker. She wrote the book, The Hiding Place. In 1976, Corrie Ten Boom she had described to Sherry and I the terrorizing experiences she had in the Nazi death camp, Ravensbrück. She was not known as Corrie Ten Boom. She was known as Prisoner 667730. Even though she suffered indignity, intimidation, whipping, hungry day and night, she was determined to be the best inmate possible. As a Christian, she held Bible classes and taught fellow inmates not only how to face life, but also how to face death in Jesus Christ. Because of her worthiness, God blessed her with a worldwide ministry that provided comfort and encouragement to millions who were seeking and searching for hope. During the darkest of times, God used her self-giving spirit for good in all the lives she touched, including Sherry's and mine. This self-giving love of God, made manifest in the life and death of our Savior, was to benefit others, namely you. You have to agree with me that His worthiness was so blatantly made clear when He transformed you. But Jesus' self-giving love did not stop there. It did not stop on that day that you received Him into your life as your Lord and Savior. No, He continues to court you with self-giving love every day. Why? Because it is His amazing, undeserving grace that gives you the ability for you to illustrate this same love to those in need, even to those who are identified as your enemies. If you are withholding God's self-giving love that was so freely given to you, then you may be a self-centered love which is not worthy of one called to be His disciples. The disciples were confused between the cross and the crown. Many commentators give James and John the benefit of the doubt and call their bid. How many of you have kids that when you get into the car, they yell, front seat? Right? Well, James and John were doing the same thing. They were calling front seat next to Jesus in His kingdom. But they gave them the benefit of the doubt and said it was a misunderstanding. You see, even though this was Jesus' third expression of His need to go to the cross, the disciples still misunderstood His earthly purpose and His eternal kingdom. Jesus wanted to make it clear to all of His disciples that in order to follow Him, they must be willing to drink from the cup of His suffering and death. Now, when we go over into Mark, this cup that he is referring to is the same one as the Lord's Last Supper with His disciples. Jesus instituted the communion We read it in Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, 1 Corinthians 11. As Christians, if we don't use what God has given us to do in His will, it will more than likely certainly cost us in receiving His blessings and being called by Him worthy. How many of you have ever heard of the violinist Niccolo Paganini? Yes? Most famous violinist, right? He willed his marvelous violin that he loved to a city, but he had this condition. No one ever play it. The wood of such an instrument, which while used and handled, wears only slightly, but if you set it aside, it begins to decay. Paganini's loved violin had today become worm-eaten and useless, except as a relic. If a Christian is unwilling to serve, and I asked you, come help Ken. Come help Jeff. Come sing in the choir. Come help George with the hospitality and the outreach team. Come help the deacons. Come help Jane as we come in a week or so to help decorate the church with the hanging of the green. Come, serve. Because if you don't, it will soon destroy your capacity for usefulness in doing the Lord's work. It's something for you to think about. Greatness in the Lord's kingdom is not to be able to rule over others, but rather in being a servant. To be first in Jesus' kingdom requires a sincere lowliness of self that gives up person's rights in order to serve others. When it comes to spotting a true leader, even President Trump commented several times in one of his campaign rallies that Jesus Christ was the boss. There is no denying that Jesus was the ultimate example of a leader. Yet He came to serve all the way to the cross. What does it mean to be a true servant? Well, John Wesley provides a very, very convincing analysis on what it means to be a true server. I don't know if I could stay up with this, but here it goes. John Wesley challenges us to do all the good you can, be all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. Or more simply, Bruce Thielemann puts it like this. It all comes down to basin theology. Now you may ask, what in the world is basin theology? What in the world does a basin have to do with my theology? Simply put, you remember what Pilate did when he had the chance to acquit Jesus? He called for a basin and washed his hands of the whole thing. But Jesus, the night before his death, he too called for a basin and proceeded to wash the feet of his disciples. It all comes down to basin theology. Which one will you use? This is Christ's mandate, that self-giving is a requirement in order for each of us to faithfully fulfill the third dynamic of this church's mission statement, and that is serving others. God honors service rather than power. The Lord is calling all who have received, who need to receive Him to come. You that are blessed by my God, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. If you have never given your heart to Christ, don't wait another moment. You come forward and receive Him as your Lord and Savior today. I have deacons that are up here that will be glad to pray with you. I'd be glad to pray with you. Or maybe you have now examined your worthiness. according to the instruction of Jesus more closely, and you realize that you need to confess the sin of self-centeredness and self-taking in order to restore your fellowship with God, to submit to His Lordship, and commit to following His example and His commands. You come forward, confess it to the Lord as sin, thank Him for His forgiveness, and receive the outpouring of all the privileges He has given you because of what Christ has personally done for you. And then you commit the next future opportunities to serve those around you with a humble heart and spread His self-giving love. You must make a knowing decision to overtly be a faithful follower of Christ that is only worthy in His eyes. To remember to do so each day until His return. You come. He is waiting for you to respond to Him right now. You come.